What up? All right, we are back. Javi and Elliot in the midst of this first quarter of craziness in the cannabis space. We're finally doing another podcast. Javier, my brethren down in South America, how are you?
Doing great. Ready to josh around today for a little bit.
Oh my God. Sorry, I hope weird. He pops off and pops back on just to punish you for that. To be real, I enjoyed it. Javi, man, just real quick, y'all. If you were with us in California a couple weeks ago, we had a phenomenal event. Tommy Chong, a lot of major operators in the California space were with us. We want to really give you a big shout out for supporting that first state market event for Benzinga. Huge success coming to a market near you. Probably New Jersey soon, maybe Ohio, maybe California again, maybe New York this year. A lot of things happening, but don't miss Florida. BZCannabis.com, hit up your Florida friends there. We'll have people from all around the U.S. talking cannabis. That said, Javier, this episode happening today is because of you. So please take the honor of this intro, man. I am pumped for this. Props to you for setting this conversation up, and really grateful to our guest for being here. Tell us what we're talking about today, man.
Man, I'm so excited. Today we have one of my favorite people in the cannabis space, in the smoking space, in social media in general. It's Josh Kesselman. He's the founder of Royal Rolling Papers, my personal favorite. We'll talk about what I consider to be the best rolling paper on earth right now. Don't tell others I said that, but I kind of said it. So... it's out there. It's on record. You can debate me. You can tell me in the chat if you feel otherwise. But with that said, let's bring on the funniest guy in the cannabis space, Mr. Josh Kesselman.
Let's do it. What's up?
I love that intro, man. That was awesome. Or rawsome.
Oh my God. Josh, welcome on, man. Appreciate you joining us. You know, everybody knows Raw, but for the sake of us, from your mouth, tell us what Raw is.
Well, Raw is, to me, the best brand of rolling papers and rolling smoking products in the world. That's really what it is. And it's also a way of life.
Why? Why is it the best, right? Like, I can have my preference, but like, why would you say it's the best? Because it's a big claim to fame, right? And many will dispute it. Few will rightfully dispute it, but many will dispute it.
Well, okay. Well, some might rightfully dispute it because if you have to understand the human animal, right? We have more synapses in our brain than there are stars in the universe. Therefore, what is the best to me is not necessarily, and probably isn't, the best to everyone. And that's why we make so many different products, is because every single human is individual. So when you're trying to make every single human the best they could possibly be in the universe, you have to make a lot of products. I've got thousands of them.
Wow. That's crazy. Thousands of different rolling paper types. I'm imagining you span across multiple ways of consumption. Just give us a sense. Yeah.
I mean, it's the entire breadth. Everything. I mean, you start from the beginning. You'd want to weigh your amount to make sure you have, I've got a whole line of scales I've been doing for decades. Of trying to get it exactly right. I try to make the best scales that ever been made. And you move your way up there. I think I was the first person to really sell tips in America. I've been doing this I've been in this industry since 93, man. Wow. So things were a lot different back then. And because I've been doing it for so long, again, you pick up all this knowledge along the way. And what to a layperson seems like fundamental, like a natural translucent brown unbleached rolling paper, that didn't exist back then. And as far as I know, it didn't exist until I brought it out. So the market's changed a lot over these decades. And I believe that I've had a lot to do with those changes.
Can you just give us a sense of availability for Raw? Because you're huge. Raw is a huge company. And I'd love to understand the breadth of what we're talking about here. What markets do you reach? How many consumers do you reach? You can tell us, just give us a sense of the significance from 93 to now, how much Raw has grown.
Well, okay, so Raw didn't start in 93. The idea for Raw was around them, but that's when I started in this industry. Raw didn't come out, really launched till 2005. But it's such a phenomenal paper and such a different way of smoking, and it naturally connected with people that it took off on its own. It was that old Pantene commercial you guys might know. It was the smoke seshes. You know, you guys are part of a smoke sesh. You have your friends you smoke with. And if someone brings something into the sesh that's completely different and uplifts the sesh in a different way, like a raw paper in 2005, well, typically you're going to pass that around. People are going to ask, what is that? You're going to tell them about it. And then when they go to the smoke shop, they're going to ask for that same paper. Oh, I want a pack of raw because it hits differently. It doesn't have any chalk in it. It doesn't have any of those certain things, you know, and it just smokes to me better, and to the people that enjoy it better. So it grows and grows and grows. One sesh leads to another sesh. One person brings it into theirs. That whole sesh gets to enjoy it, the whole circle. The next sesh, one person gets it. Again, another sesh, another sesh, another sesh. And I believe most of the growth of raw is from these sesh circles. And in the end, if you follow a sesh circle from like one person in there to the next person, all humans are connected. Look at coronavirus. I hate to laugh at that, but it's true. We are all connected. And knowledge and sesh circles spread throughout the entire smoking universe until we encompass the globe. We are in every major country other than things like North Korea or China and across the globe. As far as I know, we sell pretty much everywhere. So yeah, raw has been a phenomenal success. And the best part is it's not because of me. It's because of the phenomenal paper, which makes it so much easier, you know?
Well, I mean, you have some influence over this, you know, your persona and your personality. But here's one of my favorite things about raw is how it got quickly embedded into the hip hop community and it got into songs. Right? I remember asking a few rappers, there's this song I like where there's Chris Webby, Demrick, Dizzy Ride and Be Real from Cypress Hill. And they go like, raw papers wrapped around the sour tea, right? Like, this weed will give me energy. And like that is in a bunch of different songs. Like, how did that come to be? Because I know you're not like going out and endorsing or sponsoring rappers, right? So what made rappers love your rappers?
Oh, that's beautiful. I gotta remember that one. Rappers love my rappers. I gotta put that on my mixtape.
That's awesome.
It connects with us naturally. I think the goal of raw, and I think what raw does, is it kind of just feels right to you inside. You can tell that it hits you differently than what was out there in the 90s. It feels more natural to your self-being in here. It's just something about it. It's like, this just feels right to me. You can't even put it into words. It's a feeling. It's an emotion, which is what raw is really about. So it connects with you in this way. It just hits you. And you want to smoke it again. And then when you go back to something you smoked, like some 90s style paper, that really suddenly feels worse. It just feels like you're smoking something that you shouldn't be. And then you come back to raw and it just connects. And with these rappers, they smoke a lot. That's the cool thing about the music industry. A lot of what inspires those songs is the plant, right? And they know what they smoke a lot. They smoke hella amounts. And if they love your product, you know you're doing something right, especially if you're not paying them to love it and they just naturally love it. Well, dude, you've got to be doing something right. This is something that's part of business, by the way. We're going back to Benzinga instead of Josh's story. We have people we talk to all the time about acquiring their business. And when their product didn't hit, when it didn't work, you have to think there's a reason why. Because to me, if you did a big marketing campaign and you got that product out there and people consumed it for a while and then it went down, well, then there's something wrong with the product. It wasn't necessarily the marketing. I'm sure, yes, if Drake went on singing about saying that this was the best thing in the world, just a table by a base, then everyone's going to buy it. But that doesn't count. A product on its own should have its own legs. That's been my experience. If your product is phenomenal, it will grow on its own because people naturally, we want to share with each other. We want to talk. We want to say how this thing was incredible. And if we're not sharing that, then something's wrong. Go back to the drawing board. Remake your product better. When these people talk to us about acquiring them stuff, then we don't think their product's going to work. Then it's like, let's have a different conversation. If I rework your product with you to make it something that I believe people are going to really like, what does that look like? If we give up on the old and just start fresh, what is that going to look like? Can we do that? Because if we can, we have a chance. If you want me to sell your old thing, I have to very politely say no and walk away.
Mm, I love that. And you know what? I think some of the most I think at the top of the cannabis space, a lot of collaboration does happen between companies. Yeah. And I think people maybe don't acknowledge that enough. There's a lot of collaboration between companies in this industry for those that are quote unquote successful. You know, but all that said, I have a two-part question here for you, Josh. You can hear the passion in your voice, man. Yeah. You can hear how much you love raw and love the community that, you know, raw papers, you know, can build for people and with consumers. Can you chat a little bit about what keeps you so passionate 20 years later?
I guess I'm really, if you go back to 93, right? It's what, I'm 31 years in this industry, really? You know, something like that? Yeah, it's ludicrous. I guess I have a strong sense of history, and I'm always in a sense of disbelief, right? When I wake up in the morning and like I remember who I am and what I do for a living, I smile.
Surreal.
You know, it wakes me the fuck up. I'm like, holy shit. Like this is, I get to be this person. But what a great life, man. I'm the rolling paper guy. I get to go around. I walk down the street. People stop me to take pictures with me with smiles this big. And if they're taking a picture with me, that means they're one of my people. It means they smoke and I want to sesh with them, you know? So like, I'm going around the world making friends. I grew up lonely and fucking depressed, sad stoner. Now it's like everywhere I go, I make people happy. They make me happy. Imagine waking up in the world being me every morning. You're like, oh, it just, you kind of wake up like, holy shit, this really happened. I was supposed to be a piece of shit living underneath the bridge, but I'm this fucking rolling paper awesome dude, and I'm having a great time. I believe that like if I can't enjoy life with everything that I've been blessed with and this tremendous amount of success and joy, then no one can, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that brings me to my second point. You know, to really get behind a company, especially a founder that's been a part of it, you know, since 2005, you know, I feel like innovation, and you touched on a little bit earlier with how many products that you've come out with to broaden the scope of consumer participation with Raw. Yeah. But when you innovate your OG product, your rolling paper, I mean, is that as good as it gets? Is there more to be done there? I'm just curious, what is innovation when it comes to you and Raw?
Every time I think it's over, every time I think we've hit like the final level, it turns out there's another level. It's like a video game that never ends and you finally beat the final boss. And you're like, I won! Oh God, there's another level. Oh, okay, let's go back at it again. All right, let's go. It's like that. And not all the products I've done have been Raw, by the way. I've done lots and lots of other products. I'm talking about thousands. I'm talking about all my children, all the products we've made over all the years. There's so many of them. But it's really like Javier had the chance to experience this, right? Which is an even thinner Raw, which is something if I would have launched, let's say 5 years ago, it would have fallen flat on its face because the paper is too thin. It is too thin. However, because the market has changed, because the material has gotten better and better, and our community has gotten better at rolling and understand how to store their stuff and understand how to grind their stuff, because there's people out there like Proper Doinks, you know what I mean? At First Smoke of the Day, this kind of level of people that are now propagating this inner sanctum of the most incredible rollers on earth, well, now they deserve to have their own paper, which is what ethereal really is. To a layperson, this paper would be awful. Awful. Mark my words. Because they're going to grind it wrong. They're going to roll it wrong, too loose. Something's going to go wrong. And the paper has so little energy because it's so thin that, in my experience, it can't correct for certain mistakes as well as Raw Classic. So this is the best for the best, but it's such a small segment of the market that didn't even exist really in much 5 years ago. So this is why you're asking me about levels and how do you innovate? Well, then you realize the market has shifted and that there's this small group that really needs something really special for them. Niche marketing is what I love to do. Raw was supposed to be a niche product. It wasn't supposed to take over the freaking world the way that it did. I was designing it for like this small group of stoner friends I had with like this blonde girl with dreads and these people who were vegan and really, really into it. That was Raw from the beginning. I wanted to make them happy. I didn't understand that everybody wanted to smoke the best. Everyone actually wanted to be like them. I didn't get that. I made it for them and Raw took off a zillion times more than I ever thought it would. But I understand niche markets. Like I can connect with you. If I'm smoking with Javier, him and I'm going to be watching him every step he does. I'm going to watch him grind and watch if he touches that. I'm going to be noticing every little, I'm going to watch his eyes shift because I'm trying to understand what he's doing and kind of get into his mind to understand how he's smoking, how he's rolling. And then I'll see him do something and I get this kind of, he'll see me get this glazed look in my eye where I'm like, he's doing that because, oh. And once I understand why he's doing something, and it might be different than something I've ever seen before, then my tendency is to either teach him a way to help him make that easier, or make a product for him to make it easier, or change something, or even an instruction to teach people, hey, did you know that you could, you know? And that's the biggest secret of my success. I've explained this on social media, but nobody wants to hear it. A lot of it is about empathy. It's about connecting with your market in a way deeply, from like the inners of your soul to the inners of theirs. If you understand them and what their needs really are, more than what they tell you, because what they tell you is not necessarily correct. You have to understand it in here and realize I could elevate that. I could make that better by doing something. And if you're lucky enough to have access to, like I do, to making new products and all these things, well, then I can check it. Oh, wow, you did it like that. I need to increase the depth. The poker needs to be a little bit wider. I saw you to poke it too many times. I got to make it a little bit wider for you. Oh, okay, I see that. Oh, you twisted and turned that way, always to the right. Interesting. I got to teach people that. And this is like a day in the life of Josh when he's out there sessioning and hanging out with people. It's all picking up knowledge from them. And they don't even realize it. Oh, man, I talk too much. It's one of my things.
Oh, my God. No, please. This is great.
I got two quick anecdotes and then my question, but like two quick anecdotes in relation to what you just said. One is last Sunday, I was at this freestyle rap competition in Argentina, just attending as media. And they had this rolling contest where you had 40 seconds to roll a joint while improvising a rap, like a freestyle rap. And I used my raw ethereals and I finished rolling in 4.5 seconds. By the way, I won. And I was like, okay,
you were rapping?
I got to fill the.
Where's videos. The video of this? I want to see this video. Sorry. Oh,
when Javier raps, video, the world stops.
It's on record. Here's the other one is.
I knew that video.
I quoted this song earlier about raw papers. Funny enough, there's another part where Demrick, who spoke at our last Benzinga conference, says, I'm an illegal marijuana payroll. Can't believe this is my reality, right? You know, talking about how surreal it is to wake up every day and like. So I'm not a like a narco. I'm not someone trafficking drugs, but you know, cannabis pays my bills. This is insane.
Yeah.
Now my question to you, totally different, but you're an eternal optimist, right? But can you remember the biggest business failure you've had? Because you know, you come up with new products all the time. I see it on social media, and every time you drop or every other time you drop a new product, I go like, this is insane. This is fun, but who needs this shit? And then it sold out within a day. But what, like, can you remember the one like big business failure and what you learned from it and how you corrected it?
Well, sure. Before Raw, I had lots of failures, lots of them, because I didn't have my heart in it. I wasn't connecting correctly with the consumer. But also, we pick up knowledge from our failures. I made a series of blunders on some blunt wraps because I didn't love blunt wraps. I made them really great. You know what I mean? I made some incredible blunt wraps. I really did. But my heart wasn't in it. I didn't love them. I didn't feel like in here. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, yes, this is it. I was doing them by following the market. And I was making better blunt wraps for people. And I was doing it. Like I was elevating, but I wasn't elevating enough. Even the ones where I added some elevation to it, where I made them better, like my Cyclones Extra Slow, I put this dank 7 tip on there that I soaked and played for 7 days. Those still sell to this day. But my original blunt wraps, they were what we call just another, you know? It was just another damn blunt wrap, just like everyone else's blunt wrap. Oh, cool, I changed the flavor. Oh, wow, look, I did fancy marketing. Oh, wow, I got this guy to sing about it for a second. Not even, but it wasn't special. And I took some huge hits on losses on those blunts. Some of my early papers were total flops, total failures. Juicy always sold. That was one of my earliest ones. Elements always sold. But when I tried to do things that were like, people would come to me, oh my God, there's this huge market in this segment over here, you know, like typical business stuff. And I would try to make a product for that segment without really understanding the segment from my heart and not really loving that segment. Those products often like just death bombs, like just, oh shit. And I got a container full of it sitting there and then we're on the way. Oh no, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? That happened several times, including with the 2006 phenomenon of clear rolling papers. There's an example. I didn't really like clear rolling papers that much. I really didn't. And there was this big ad in 2006. Oh my God, clear rolling papers. Oh my God, they're the greatest thing. And I went into it and I made all these brands of clear rolling papers. And my heart, again, wasn't really in it, but everyone was telling me you need to do this. So I made them a little better than they were before. I found some different materials and stuff, but yeah, no, I ended up like, it was a tremendous financial loss for us and we blew it. If I had dedicated my heart to it, if I had understood more about what a clear smoker really wanted and gone into it in depth and made it a lot better for them, I'm sure I could have blown it out of the water, but I didn't. So, but I did pick up knowledge, lots of knowledge. So I try not to follow the market. I want to lead the market. You know what I mean?
Mm. With that, I mean, phenomenal advice to younger entrepreneurs there, people breaking into the cannabis space, really just in any industry in general. If you're going to do this, do it from the heart. Because I mean, no better word spoken here. But with that,
don't replicate. That's so important for humanity, not just for your own success, but for humans as a whole. The more we replicate each other, the less we grow. If we all just follow it, if we keep growing and innovating, we expand. The consciousness expands. We end up flying through space at warp factor 9, as I always say. This is through innovation. But if we keep copying each other, we end up right here, boom, 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 fighting against each other, not going up. So innovation is the key, not just for your own success, but for the success of all mankind. If you accept that, which is true, then you understand what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And you've not only been a leader in innovation and being, you know, continually thinking outside the box, but you've been a leader in giving back, you know. Yeah. So I want to offer, you know, some time here to chat about that, to chat about why, to chat about, you know, maybe something that is a milestone that I believe you just hit. But regardless, Josh, I want to give you a space to really, you know, talk about why and where Raw Focus is in giving back. Because I think, you know, giving back knowledge, giving back innovation, giving back, you know, resources, you know, I think it's an epitome of who Raw is.
Yeah, it's something. Okay, so there's an expression that I say a lot, which is we all get higher together, right? I say it all the time because it's kind of like my mantra for life and the mantra for our company. And part of that is giving back because we all get higher together. So now we've recently crossed the milestone where we've given back over $3 million in direct cash contributions. Closer to 4 million if you include our other like in-kind contributions and things like that, fundraising stuff. But our like direct, like from us, actual cash has crossed 3 million, which is freaking phenomenal.
Yeah. Well done.
Right. And you don't have to do that. It's the thing, you just gave back. No. This is a big deal, man. I could have bought something. You know, and you don't. Instead, you do this because people would say because you're supposed to. Well, why are you supposed to? Well, helping your fellow human is one of the most important things you can do in life. Sharing knowledge, sharing resources, which is what giving really is, are things that truly elevate all of us. Now, I've been fortunate enough to have a rougher upbringing, put it gently. And I really wasn't expected to become much. In fact, people told me I wouldn't in very harsh ways. That actually, which is a good thing, because it actually motivated me to prove them wrong, show them that I'm not a piece of poop, to do things where you do give back. I've been to Ethiopia several times. I've met with the Sisters of Mother Teresa. We've been through funding and work, we've given fresh, clean water to all of their centers, which we call hospitals, because they really operate as a hospital, throughout Ethiopia. I think there's 7 or 8 of them. We've done so many water wells over there. And recently, I've shifted our focus where I'm trying to get back more directly into our local community. I don't mean local like here. I mean our community. We did a big program here in New York with, what's the name of the charity again? Come on, Josh. The Justice Foundation, where we gave, through them, we donated $100,000 to them, and they used a large portion of that to give grants to basically entrepreneurs that had been talking so much. I want to boil this down so people understand, you know? We're trying to help out people more like me that have been negatively impacted by cannabis laws. Rather than me tell, blah, 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 I did this, I did that. Who cares? Listen, I want to help people that were hit in the gut like me by negative cannabis laws wherever I can. I want them to understand that you're not a piece of poop. I'm not a piece of poop. Look how far I got multiple felonies from the 90s. Look at me, man. You could be the same. If you use it to elevate yourself, to recognize that once you've been hit like that, sure, it's hard to get a job. Whenever you go to certain places, it'd be tough for me to get a job at McDonald's. You know, I got to check that box. You ever convicted a felony? Yep. Nope. Like, come on, let me serve burgers. Nope. It forces you to become an entrepreneur. Look at it like that. It's telling you, you have to become that. You need to start your own business where there's no one who's going to ask you to check a box and talk about the stuff you did 40 years ago. No. Allow it to elevate you. Allow your paradigm shift to occur. I think that's the fancy term. And that is lately what we've been giving back more towards. The latest thing, we just gave $100,000 to CAS, Central Arizona Shelter Services, to help people experiencing homelessness that have also been negatively impacted by cannabis laws because the two can be related. I'm trying to undo some of that damage. It makes me feel good to help because of what I've been through in my own past. And we all get higher together. Mm.
Well said. Rising tide lifts all ships, my friend. I have one final question for you. Outside of your own rolling papers, what is your favorite cannabis product?
Khalifa Kush.
There it is. There it is.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
No doubt. Number one right
Javi, there. Any other questions, my friend, for the moment? I got to tell you, Josh, I've very much enjoyed talking to you.
I love talking to you guys. I'm so lucky to be able to do this.
No, thank you
we
so
gotta
much.
We got to do it again. We got to be cognizant of time for this show specifically. So I will save my other questions for our next show with Josh. If you want to see a recurring segment with Josh, maybe once every quarter, tell us in the comments. That's what the comment box is for.
Would love
you
that.
Ask and you shall receive.
I would love to do it. Tell him. Tell him to bring me back. Bring me back.
Josh, thank you, sir. Appreciate
you. You're welcome, guys.
Really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Right on. Rock on, guys. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. What a killer interview. What an enjoyable human being. And I mean that sincerely. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it.
I wanted to do this one myself. Yeah. It's like, sorry, Abby. Sorry, Pato. I got you beat on this one.
Yeah. Well, I will say thank you for that interview, Josh. Thank you, Javi, for making it happen. Thank you to Proven Media Services for also helping with this. But all that said, y'all, there's a lot of passion in this space. There's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of growth ahead of us. And honestly, with people like Josh willing to collaborate, it makes me bullish for the future. But all that said, Javier, anything else our audience needs to hear today?
Yeah, dude. Come see us. Come say hi. We're super nice. We'll be in Florida, in Hollywood, Florida, on April 16th and 17th for the 18th Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference. 3,000 of the best minds in the space, leaders, celebrities, policymakers, CEOs, investors, CFOs, CMOs, all of the best of the best. And guess what? We're super nice too. We're corporate, we're suits, but we're also very fun to hang out with. Come say hi, bzcannabis.com. Get your tickets.
I heard a great line for this today. I'll showcase it from him when he wants me to showcase it from him. But this isn't my idea, so I'll say that. We work with Chads. We speak Chad for you. Let us connect the two sides. Oh, my God. I enjoyed that wholeheartedly. All that said, thank you, everybody, for supporting Benzinga Cannabis Insider. We look forward to seeing you in Florida, bzcannabis.com. Until next time, y'all.
That was great. Do it. Peace. Peace.